Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keane, Wednesday, June 2nd, 2010.
I'm Carol Masser. Ken and Tom are both off today. Joining us in studio right now, Mike Arenstein, Chief Investment Strategist at Oscar Gruss & Son. But where are you finding opportunities at this point?
Well, we had a thesis last year that the U.S. economy particularly was going to be stronger than people thought, and that carried us through most of the first quarter of this year. And now we've been sensing something of a regime change. You know, in general, you've had people using every excuse possible to not invest in the United States. There was this whole intellectual architecture about China was the new locomotive of the global economy, and that fed into people's appetite for commodities, emerging market companies, all kinds of non-U.S. equity investment themes. And we felt as though the U.S. was going to be the story for this year, and particularly for dollar-based investors, that's proving out. It's been a very expensive venture overseas so far.
Well, what do you make then of the 12% pullback that we've seen in the S&P since that April high? Is it the beginning of a new bear market or just a needed correction?
I think it's just a correction in the sectors mainly that were tied to this whole what I believe was a conceptual excess about, you know, non-U.S. demand growth. The weakest sectors year to date have been affiliated with the idea that, you know, growth was coming out of the rest of the world. And so the weakness you've seen in energy, even though it's been exacerbated by the events down in the Gulf, was already evident going into April. So it's not... This hasn't been simply a story of the spill. There have been other commodity sectors that have disappointed people. The commodity markets as a whole have been quite weak, and I think people have been surprised at how strong the dollar has been. And again, the dollar was strong even leading up to the crisis point with Greece, and it's been gathering strength.
You know, we mentioned that you've had some great calls on the commodity markets. Where do you think we go from here? In terms of commodities specifically, do we continue to see some selling pressures?
Well, I think there's some risk in commodities generally, and part of it derives from the fact that the flows, investment flows, have become the fundamentals in the commodity markets, not the consumption by auto companies or the number.
That can be kind of dangerous.
It's very, very dangerous
and fickle.
Yeah, because you're absolutely right. Because you get the volatility of opinion there. It's much different than somebody ordering, you know, 40 tons of aluminum because they build aircraft. You have people trading it who are willing to change their minds in 10 minutes. And I think there is still an excess level of expectation across the investment spectrum with commodities as an investment medium rather than commodities as a useful tool of production. So that's one thing. China also is offering, I think, the potential for commodity deflation because they've got so much excess capacity in some of the important commodity areas like steel, if their economy continues to slow, which it's doing.
And we saw some numbers yesterday showing.
Yeah, the credit growth is starting to decline, and their central bank is among the tightest in the world. They're not going to just stop production and lay off the people. They're going to keep producing and just export as much as they can. I mean, they're kind of on a theme of job creation without profitability. So they're not that sensitive to selling the world things at below the actual cost to produce. And that's a risk in those things that they've really built capacity in.
What do you make about kind of the general sentiment, if you will, Mike, kind of around the globe and just so many different news stories, whether it's out of the Middle East right now, we still have the tensions between North Korea and South Korea, the news out of Japan and the resignation there and kind of some uncertainty there in terms of that government going forward. I mean, it just seems like wherever you look around the globe at this point, does it just make it even a more difficult investment environment, or does it create more opportunities because, again, it increases that volatility?
Well, it's one of the dominant themes, I think, of the next 5 years or so. It's the...
We better get used to it.
Yeah, it's the decline of people, of the status of governmental authority. And how the people in power react to it is really going to determine the investment climate, whether or not, you know, they react the way Hugo Chavez reacts, which is just shut down the economy. He didn't really care because the whole game for him is personal power and enrichment, or whether politicians have the ability to react with some sense of humility and do what is right for the greater economic good.
Track record not so good there.
No. It seems that endeavor attracts people without the character basis for humility. And, you know, one of the keys to life is the ability to admit that you're wrong. Certainly one of the keys to investing is we do it every day. But politics seems to have as one of its basic credos that you never admit that you're wrong. You just blame someone else or speak louder. And that's really a dangerous thing, because we are in a world where, you know, the private sector architecture and information transmission and all of that is beginning to overwhelm governments, which I think in their current structure are remnants of the last century, really. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to die willingly or easily, many of them.
That seems like a pretty tough backdrop.
It is. It makes life really, really complex from the investing side. And that's all right with us, but it doesn't.
Well, you still see opportunities.
Yeah, there are always opportunities. Sometimes it's very, very difficult to kind of separate the signal from the noise, because, you know, people are overwhelmed with data these days, and trying to ordinate, give a sense of what the weighting should be to 1,000 different data points is really, it's very tough. Right. You know, I spend, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week doing it, and it's still very tough, and I've done it since
not
the late
easier.
70s. No, it's getting harder.
Mike, you kind of laughed a little bit when you heard about some of those comments from the head of Moody's. I mean, the credit rating agencies, they're just, what, worthless in your view, or what?
Well, they're irreparably conflicted. You cannot rate somebody who pays you.
It was just flawed from the start.
Yeah. Conceptually, it's just invalid. There's no way. Just like if I go to apply for life insurance, the life insurance company doesn't let me pay the doctor. I can't give them a report from my own doctor.
Right.
Who I pay. They send a doctor, and they pay for it. And that's the way the world works. You can't have that kind of structural conflict and expect people not to be affected by it. And, you know, the whole idea that they're going to clamp down and really try their best to present better ratings.
Happen.
No, they didn't do it on purpose. But the business, first of all, forecasting is really tough. The market does it better than any of the agencies. You know, the interest rate differentials tell you the varying amounts of risk in bonds.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take Moody's or Standard & Poor's to do that.
But will they go away?
Grudgingly, they should. But I'm sure there are tremendous vested interests in keeping the system as it is. People are paid for it, even though, in my opinion, they shouldn't be. And people are forced to use them. And the tragedy is this is by government dictate that
you
must use a credit rating agency under certain circumstances, which, you know, that's the genesis of all monopolies is from government. It's not from business practices. The only way you can truly have a monopoly is if government prohibits competition.
Let me ask you, though. We do have Warren Buffett, big shareholder in Moody's, although he's been pairing that investment. You shrug your shoulders. What? Like, we won't get too much out of Warren Buffett? Or do you find it interesting that he's being questioned by the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission today?
No, he has a dog in that fight.
He does.
I believe he still owns stock in Moody's. And I think he went into the investment with his eyes wide open. But I personally have just found it beneficial to steer clear of any embedded conflicts in any businesses and in any financial interchange that I've participated
in. Just means problems.
Yeah, there's no way around it, and that's one of the big problems the street has.
All right, and they're still trying to figure that one out.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, or on satellite radio, Sirius Channel 130 and XM Channel 129. Copyright 2010.